Welcome to the YouthWorks Effective Ministry Podcast, the podcast that helps you to have an effective youth and children's ministry in your church. My name is Tim Bielhartz. I'm one of the children's ministry advisors for YouthWorks Ministry Support. We're back from an extended break and have a short series for you leading up to Christmas and throughout the New Year break. Over the next three episodes, we're going to have a look at church history and why understanding church history is good for those of us leading children's and youth ministry. I've got a couple of conversations with Dr. Ruth Licabio, who is the Dean of Women and Church History Lecturer at YouthWorks College, as well as a discussion with James Ulrich and Caitlin Dixon from St. Mark's Anglican Church, West Wollongong, on how they have used various aspects of church history in their ministry. But the episode you're about to hear today was actually recorded about this time last year when we were first playing around with reshaping Al James's Under the Crown podcast under this new title of the Effective Ministry Podcast. Carl Grice is someone who will be familiar to many of our Sydney listeners as the wandering bookseller. He's the go-to Christian bookseller in our neck of the woods and a regular at conferences throughout the year. And whenever I chat with Carl, he always throws a book in my hand and says, "Hey Tim, you need to read this," which is great. And I've discovered so many books through Carl that I wouldn't otherwise have known about or would not have picked up and read. So, as we were trialing episodes of this podcast, one thought I had was to get Carl on a couple of times a year to recommend for all of us the latest youth, children's and family ministry books and resources that have come across his desk as a bookseller and tell us why we should read them. Well, in this conversation that we recorded lead up to Christmas last year, we talk about Christian fiction for a range of different ages. It may be that you're looking for some last-minute Christmas gifts for students, or maybe you have your own kids and family members you need to buy some gifts for. This episode will give you plenty of ideas for that. And to follow up this episode, next year I'm looking at getting some of the authors that we chat about on the podcast and to talk to them about why they write fiction, how their faith informs their writing, and other related questions. So if you've got any thoughts or questions you would like to ask some authors who write fiction, who are Christians, well, you can send them through to effectiveministrypodcast@youthworks.net. And if you have any other suggestions for future podcast episodes, if you have people you think that we should chat to as we set up more episodes for next year, you can do the same. Email me at effectiveministrypodcast@youthworks.net. But without any further ado, here is my conversation with Carl Grice, the wandering bookseller. My name is Tim Bielhartz. I'm one of the Children's Ministry Advisors for YouthWorks Ministry Support. And it's my pleasure to be joined today by Carl Grice, the owner, manager, and curator of the Little Lost Bookshop in Katoomba, but probably best known in Christian ministry circles as the owner of the Wandering Bookseller, which supplies Christian books and resources to conferences and churches throughout Australia. Welcome, Carl.
Hi, Tim.
Carl, for those who might not have heard about the Wandering Bookseller, tell us a little bit about what it is, what you do, and what's the connection to the Little Lost Bookshop in Katoomba?
Yeah, sure, Tim. The Wandering Bookseller is primarily about supplying good Christian books at Christian events around Australia. So we started in Katoomba with the Katoomba Conventions, and then just sort of word of mouth kept being invited other places. We have John Ward up in Queensland, who looks after events in Brisbane and on the Gold Coast and Tambourine Mountain. And I guess the vision behind it is wanting to make sure it's really easy for people to be able to pick up and look at good Christian books, and events are sort of the place you can, one of the few places you can do that now. So that's sort of the idea there. and obviously, you know, not so many events happening over the last 2 years, so we've been a bit quiet on that front. And then the Little Lost Bookshop, I guess, tapped into, I had a history of working in general bookshops for a number of years. And once I'd settled into Katoomba, really wanted to find a way to be part of the local community and missed having, a real physical bookshop, the front door that opens and shuts at the end of the day. And, you know, if you're feeling a bit burned or blackish, you can sort of just get the broom out and tell everybody to go home. But we're more likely to just hang around. And, we've got a piano upstairs. And so, again, pre-COVID, often Friday afternoon would be music jam session with locals. And so I think just tapping into the bookshop as a community hub, and it's about the books, but it's also much more about the people as well.
And even in that the Little Lost Bookshop, it's a generic bookstore in terms of, you know, it's not Christian. There's lots of other secular things, you know, top sellers, obscure titles. Oh, I really like coming in and browsing what you have. But there is also the side where, as a Christian, you are seeking to be Christ in Katoomba. And you've had a number of different stories. I wonder if there might be one story you've got in mind of the way that you've been able to just be Christ in amongst Katoomba during that, in that bookstore.
Yeah, I think I sort of definitely always want to make sure it's a place that anyone feels safe to come into. So it's very much not a Christian bookshop, but as people get to know that I'm Christian, we've had people come and ask for prayer and ask to know more about the Bible. We had a young guy come in once who's he's working as a plumber, but he's, every time he asked a question, his boss would say to him, "Oh, you know, the answers to that are in the Bible," and he'd never read it. So he popped in one day and he's like, "My boss keeps telling me I've got to read this thing." And so I was sort of able to encourage him to start with, you know, the Gospels and read about the life of Jesus. So I think, yeah, it's been good to be able to be available when people want to have a look at the Bible. And even during lockdown, during Click and Collect, we had people pop in and ask for prayer. So I think, you know, if that's helping people through lockdown, that's certainly something we want to be able to offer. I don't know.
Yeah, that's great. One of the great things about having a friend who runs a bookstore is every time I see you at a conference or up at Katoomba Christian Convention, is you've always got a book to throw in my hands and say, "Hey, Tim, you should read this." And what I thought would be a great semi-regular part of this podcast is to have those conversations, but publicly, so others can be available to the recommendations that you have for ministers, ministry, children's, youth, family, you know, all those kinds of bits and pieces that people listening to this podcast will be familiar with. And so we were thinking that in the lead up to Christmas, it's not too far away now, that you've got a few Christian fiction books. There's a few authors that are writing, as you said, some really great Christian fiction. So let's have a look at those. Let's start in sort of primary school. There's one called The Green Ember. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
So the Green Ember series is set in a sort of fantasy world. It's not high fantasy. There's no ogres or orcs or anything like that. But there are talking rabbits, and they're it's got the sort of the classic, you know, the children get split from the parents and they're now on this epic adventure, running away from wolves and hawks, and trying to find their parents, trying to work out what's going on in the world as it's sort of, you know, their happy life had sort of fallen apart, which all sounds very dire, but it's not as dire as it sounds. my eldest, when I first read these, my eldest was probably about, I think, seven or eight, and she devoured them. So I read the first book aloud to her, and she just kept reading the series. You have Heather and Pickett, who are, you know, learning to fight with swords and things like that, and my daughter really loves it. It's not just the boys with swords; the girls can have swords as well. And as they go on their adventure, they find other rabbits who have been scattered as they're escaping from the wolves and the hawks. And there's this sort of hidden diaspora underground community of rabbits, because rabbits do live underground, so it's and above ground, but, you know, they have burrows. So it's, you know, the whole bunkering down isn't so strange for rabbits, really. And it's quite beautiful because the rabbits are trying to form a community, and they're, it's always at risk of being found and being discovered. And so, you know, I think a lot of themes in there that sort of, I guess, play into, in some ways, the season we're in, where, I mean, what we're hiding from at the moment is a virus more than wolves and hawks. But I think, you know, these trying to work out how we have community when we can't just go and meet in buildings is tricky. So it's probably in that way helpful at the moment for people. And
yeah, some resonances there.
Yeah. But it's a beautiful series. And I think this, the other thing that comes through really clearly in there is that it, while there are good guys and bad guys, there's sort of that classic, you know, the bad guys are chasing the good guys, but even the good guys have really strong character flaws. And so one of the things that is helpful about that is that you sort of, what you discover as life goes on, as kids grow up, is that life isn't all roses all the time. And so even in these stories, you know, someone who's a good friend might betray your trust and break a promise, or somebody might get angry. So I think it was helpful for my kids in terms of understanding that we're as humans, we're all flawed in that sense. Like we do, it doesn't use the word sin in the books, but that kind of concept comes through. I think the fallenness of humanity and the need to be able to forgive each other. I think it's a really powerful series in terms of understanding the role of forgiveness and reconciliation in community. Yeah. But at the same time, it's just a beautiful story. So,
yeah. Well, I know that we bought the first one for our family. I know my daughter, who's 10, has loved the first one. I haven't bought the rest of the series yet, but that's on my list. So that's really good. Another one for that kind of age group, I've heard a lot about but not read myself, but Andrew Peterson, that some might know as a singer-songwriter, has written the Wing Singer series.
Wing Feather Saga.
Tell us about a little bit about that one.
Yeah.
So Wing Feather Saga. Wing Feather Saga. Sorry, my mistake.
Yeah. So it's a little bit older than the Green Ember series. So probably good for upper primary, or even junior high, maybe. And the first book is On the Edge of the Dark Sea of Darkness. And so not just the Sea of Darkness, it's a dark sea of darkness. And again, you've got children on the run from enemies. In this instance, they're the fangs of Deng. And so you might be noticing there's a bit of a sort of, you know, humorous approach in some ways. It's quite, again, serious story. There's a genuine quest for answers and try and work out what's gone wrong in this little fantasy world. But children, not rabbits this time. And I think Andrew Peterson, I discovered his music before his books. I love his songwriting. He's a really beautiful poet and songwriter. And I think he taps into that tradition that started with Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and others of recognizing that there are dragons in the world. There is bad. You can't hide the bad from forever from children. And so he just wants to create stories that help us and help kids particularly to be able to face a world knowing that there'll be darkness in the world, but we can live, you know, we can find a way forward, I guess, would be my way of sort of explaining what he's trying to do. But so much, a lot of humor as well mixed in with it all. So, and I think that's particularly an Andrew Peterson thing, just this slightly, you know, overplays the word game sometimes. But again, a wonderful series. There's a companion volume coming out soon called The Creaturepedia, which has sort of like a dictionary, I guess, of all the different creatures that appear in his novels. So that should be out in time for Christmas as well.
Yeah, wonderful. My family, we get very excited when, you know, collecting series and all the appendices items. So that'd be a good one to look into as well. Going a little bit more up in the age range, and also there's a few local authors, or more local to us in Australia, in Sydney, that you want to talk about. So do you want to tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, so I think definitely worth looking at Cecily Patterson's books. She's written novels for quite a range of ages now. And they're all worth a look. They're not like the other books we've talked about. They're not necessarily obvious sort of Christian allegory in the way that Narnia is, or like none of these books are explicitly Christian in that sense, even though they're Christian authors. Her series for high school, she has one called the Invisible series, this it's a trilogy now, all about a girl called Jasmine, who is I guess going through all the normal aspects of high school life. And again, helpful, I think, that it's an Australian author, because you get an Australian, you know, perspective on that. But I think, you know, also wrestling with disability and what impact disability has on identity and on friendship and processing being involved in high school as well. So I think, you know, it will be particularly meaningful for someone reading it who has a disability of some sort, but also if they, you know, people, it's helpful for anyone, I guess, to have an understanding of what it might be like as well to live with a disability. Yeah, and I think Cecily's a wonderful author, and it's well worth looking at all of her books, but particularly if you're looking for high schoolers, I think that series is the one to look at. So Invisible, Invincible, and Being Jasmine are the three titles in the series, and you can get them as a set as well.
Yeah, great.
So,
I'm just looking at your website at the same time. There's a few that look like a bit younger. Lola in the Middle.
Yeah,
the Ava Show.
�yeah, so Ava's show has just come out. That'll be sort of I think younger again. Just got some set in Kangaroo Valley, where she used to live for primary school age.
Nice.
And also it's like a, what do you call them, Easter egg. There's a series called The Pet Sitters. Which doesn't look like it's written by Cecily, but actually she's one of the co-authors. It's got a pen name, but that's young kids, like chapter books. There's a talking cat that the two young girls are sort of looking after because they want their own pet. So they're pet sitting in the hope that they can one day have their own pet. I don't know if it helps when the first animal your pet sit happens to be able to talk to you. I think that might, you know, add some complications to the process there, but Cecily's been involved in that book as well.
It might endear you a little bit more too. Excellent. And then the last one we were you're going to talk about was Kristen Young, who has written some nonfiction Christian material before. The What If and a couple of others for Youth Works, but now is writing some fiction work as well, which you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So she's got a series that she's been working on. The sequel, the second book's just landed, just in time for Christmas. She's based here in Australia, lives just outside Sydney, and it's sort of dystopian young adult fiction. So set in the future. The first book actually just won an award called the Realm. It was a winner of the Science Fiction Book of the Year for the Realm Awards. So that's pretty exciting to have an Aussie win that. It's not an Australian award; it's an international award. And so the first book is called Apprentice, and the second book, I'm having a mental blank now. The Elite Collective is the one that's just come out. But you do want to start with the first book, so start with Apprentice. This one is more it becomes much more obviously a Christian series as you're sort of getting into that first book. It's sort of, I guess, looking at some of these ideas of, peer pressure, not quite peer pressure, but the idea of the pressure we might come under to conform to different ideas that society might have about what our lives should look like, and how as Christians we can, you know, where the tension lies there in terms of the Christian life as opposed to other ideas about what the good life is. But she teases out those ideas in the context of a sort of sci-fi dystopian novel. So it, you know, puts in a whole nother setting, but I think that sometimes is helpful. You can then take those ideas back into real life and, I don't know, without ruining any storylines, that's... It's probably the easiest way to describe it. So,
And so the another one then, who's also won a lot of awards, Christian author, writing for a wide secular audience, is Claire Zorn, another sort of mountains local, not at the moment, but grew up in the mountains, and that comes through in a few of her different books. But again, in the young adult sort of dystopian, sort of a mature age, I've read a couple of those, really, really enjoyed them, but certainly more mid to upper high school. But her books, Sky So Heavy, The Protected, One Would Think the Deep, and a new one I haven't got into, When We Are Invisible, is the new one, I think. Yeah, anything else to add about Claire Zorn as an author?
No, I just I was going to say, would you say she's like John Marsden? Is it that kind of? How would you compare it to?
Yes, very similar to Tomorrow When the War Began kind of feeling. Yeah. And Sky So Heavy is thematically very similar as well, sort of an apocalyptic event and teenagers banding together trying to work out what's going on. I really highly recommend Claire Zorn's work as well for sort of mid to upper high school, and young adults would be great as well. So thanks so much, Carl. So let's just a couple of those. So Green Ember, that's by S.D. Smith. We'll put all of these in the show notes and links to Carl's website so you can know where to pick these up for Christmas presents. Green Ember, Andrew Peterson, the Wing Feather Saga series. Cecily Patterson, particularly the Invisible series for high school. Kristen Young, the young adult fiction, dystopian fiction. So check out Apprentice and Elite Collective. And then Claire Zorn as well has done some excellent work. So as you say, some really excellent Christian writers writing fiction. So these will be good for Christian teenagers, but also gifts for, you know, nieces, nephews, cousins who aren't Christians, not overly explicit in the themes, but written by really excellent Christian authors. So that's really excellent. Thank you so much for all of that, Carl. As I said, we wanted this to be a semi-regular segment, and next time we'll come on, we'll want to talk about some ministry resources for youth and children's ministers as we think about. Probably the next episode we record will be in the new year, so it'd be great as we think about preparing for a new year of ministry. What are some great resources to be getting our teeth into there? So I look forward to that. But thank you very much for joining us, Carl. So The Wandering Bookseller, we'll put the link in the show notes so you can find that. This has been the Effective Ministry Podcast. If you want to find out more about YouthWorks, you can go to youthworks.net. You can find out more about the ministry support and the way that we can help you have an effective ministry in every church. And you can contact us at podcast@youthworks.net to get in touch with me or the rest of the ministry support crew. But for now, thank you, Carl, and we'll see you again later.